are astrologers, astronomers. They say the Magi were astronomers, that they studied the stars. They were probably also astrologers. That's where you're a Sagittarius like me, so you're going to have, you need to buy the lottery ticket today because today's your good day of luck. Don't do astrology. Because if you do astrology, Jesus says you're not doing me. I will not mix with you if you're going to play with astrology and fortune tellers and soothsayers and all that. So they were probably astronomers. They studied the stars and probably also astrologers because they were pagans. And except for the Jews, all the pagan countries, cultures around them worshipped all the stars and had multiple gods. But they're following the star. There was a legend amongst many of the cultures of that day that when a new king was born, a new star was born in the sky. So they see a bright star, and that's why they're looking for the newborn king. They come from the east. They could have come from Jordan. I mean, that's the country right on the other side of the Jordan River, so they could have come just within a day or two. If they came further from the east, I mean, that's desert. All the way to Iraq, through Jordan to Iraq, that's desert. And then you get the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, and that's the Fertile Crescent. That's the Fertile Crescent. So maybe they came from the northeast, maybe from the Fertile Crescent. But it just says they came from the east. They were to the east of Jerusalem. And they came because they saw the star. They're following the light. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. A thick cloud covers the people. I don't see the divine spark in you. I don't see God in my neighbor. I don't see God in God. I just see God in me. I'm God. I'll run the show. So there's a thick cloud over our minds, over our hearts, on our virtue. There's just dust everywhere, and you can't get through it. You got to clean off the dust. The light wants to come in, but there's just dust everywhere. And so our job is clean out the dust, clean out the cupboards, spring cleaning, so the light can come in. The light is the glory of the Lord, and we are to walk by that light. Nations shall walk by your light. So they're following the light to get to the light, to get to the light. Notice that they are on a journey. So that's our first lesson for today. Life is a journey. It's a journey that has a beginning and it has a destination. There's a purpose to life. There's meaning to life. And there's a destination. There's some place to get to. So they were on a journey. All of us are on a journey. And time is not going to stop for us. We think it kind of does. You go to sleep and time stops. And then you wake up the next morning and another day begins. It's like time starts and stops, but it never does it? Time just, as I'm talking and you're listening, click, 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 click. It never stops. So you and I, we enter time and then we're going to leave time. And it won't stop. Time will take us. And so there has to be a destination. There has to be somewhere I'm getting to. And the first place you're trying to get to, well, the ultimate place you want to get to is heaven. We all came from the mind of God, and we want to get back to the mind of God. We started in heaven. We want to get back home to heaven. But to get home to heaven, it's not a journey. It's not a career path that you walk. It's not a five-year plan you make for yourself. To get to the place of heaven, you have to get to the person of God, the person of Jesus. So they're following the star to get to the person of Jesus. If you get to Jesus, you're home. You're home. Your five-year plan, your career, whether you live in paradise or you go down to Chico, no, that's all secondary. You're not home yet, no matter where you go on this earth, no matter what you do. But as soon as you come into a living relationship with Jesus Christ and his light, his Holy Spirit takes up its dwelling in you, and you are his delight and he is your delight. Did you know that God wants us to be a delight for him? Parents, don't you want your kids to be a delight for you? Wouldn't you like to delight in your children? You don't want to always have to discipline them. That's no fun. You want to be able to have fun with them, to delight in them. And the scripture says our Father created us so he could delight in us. And he is supposed to be our delight. We are supposed to have joy and peace and love and healing, knowledge, wisdom in him, Love for love. Sin came in and it broke it all apart. I don't see God in God anymore. I don't see God in you. I don't have the virtues. Everything's foggy. I sin and it's all broken. So the light comes into the world and he says, come to the light. So the most important thing for us is to come to the Lord. Once you're in Jesus, you're already home. You're home. You're already living the life of heaven on earth. And then you'll just change address one last time. Have you ever counted how many times you've moved in your life? I counted 19 times, maybe 20 now, because that was when I was in Red Bluff. So now I think I'm at 20 times I've moved in my life. Well, at the end of your life, you're just going to change address one last time. And then your final address will be, I guess, Cloud 9. I don't know. It'll be heaven. And then you won't have to worry about it anymore. You'll finally really be home. But until then, home is relationship with the Lord. You want to be a delight for him. And you want him to be a delight for you. So they're on a journey. It's the journey. We are on a journey. And I feel for people today because we have lost our sense of the divine, of God. People don't want to live for God. They want to live for themselves. And then, well, then there's no place to get to. It's just, you're just going to start spinning around like a helicopter all around, like a top, just spinning, trying to make some money, trying to have some fun. I guess 49ers aren't going anywhere, so that's no good. It's just going to be nothing but spinning, and you'll just keep spinning more and more down into frustration. You'll never find what you're looking for. But no, it's a journey with a destination. And then, to get to their journey, they have to keep their eye on the star. You have to keep your eye on Jesus Christ. That's the divine opinion of Jesus Christ and his church. Everybody in the world wants to give you their opinion. We put our faith in the divine opinion of Jesus Christ and his church. That's the star. That's who you listen to. That's who you keep your eyes on through the day. And don't let yourself get distracted. Worry is going to come in. Anxiety comes in. Problems come in. Stress comes in. Bad thoughts come through your head. Lustful thoughts come in. All through the day, things are flustering us. We can't let that bother us. We have our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. And anytime those things come into my mind or something wants to stress me or worry me or someone gives me a bad look or someone cuts me off in traffic or a bad thought goes through my head, I said, well, that's not a sin. A bad thought's not a sin. What am I going to do with it? That could be sin or that could be virtue. Because I can't control what passes, what pops in and out of my head. But after about 2 or 3 seconds, I can then control it. I can't really control what everybody's doing around me, but I can control, and I can't really control how I react to it. So if you cut me off in traffic, my body is probably going to go like that. But I can control after that. I can control how I'm going to react. So what I do is I just keep my eyes focused on the Lord. I say, Lord, that thought that just came through my mind and wants to dwell in my mind, I don't accept that. I move it away. And Lord, I filter your love. I kind of see myself as a fish tank. You always have to be filtering the clean water in a fish tank. And so I see Jesus' love as the filter going through me. But any negative thing, any disturbance, Jesus would say, if you really want to love me, if you really want to be a delight, you can't be disturbed all through your day. Because I am peace. I am joy. I am love. and I want to dwell in you. So you have to stay at peace yourself. So that's how I stay at peace through my day. People oftentimes will say, Father, how do I get rid of these thoughts? You die. That's the only way you're going to get rid of them. When you're on cloud nine, that won't happen anymore. But we're down here, and it's going to happen. So it doesn't surprise me anymore. It doesn't bother me anymore. I said, that's just a part of this fallen human nature that we're born into. But as long as I understand that those disturbances and those things, they're not sin until I choose what I'm going to do with them. If I choose to hold on to those thoughts, get angry at you, hold on to that, now I'm sinning. Now I'm sinning. I said, well, I don't want to do that. I want to be a delight to the Lord. So we're on a journey. You got to keep your eyes focused on the light, the divine opinion of Christ and his church. And it has to be every single day, this journey. This is not a sprint where you sprint and then you get tired and you stop. And then you go again. Christianity is, well, isn't it a lot like a marriage? A marriage is every single day, day in and day out, for the rest of my life. And it's going to take work. And I have to be consistent. That's marriage. So is Christianity. It's a lot like a cargo ship. My family was down. My mom and dad both grew up in the LA area. My mom near Long Beach. And we were down in Long Beach, and I saw a cargo ship going by. And my dad was in the Navy. And I said, Dad, how fast do you think that thing's going? Because it didn't look like it was even moving. And he said, about 17 knots. And I said, hey, Dad, how fast do you think that ship's going? I wasn't in the Navy. And he said, about 25 miles an hour. That's about 17 knots. And I thought, that's not very fast. I said, that's not very fast. I could almost ride my bike maybe that fast. And he said, but it never stops. It wasn't like the destroyer that I was on in the Navy. It would start and it would stop. That thing never stops. 25 miles an hour, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's how it can cross the ocean in about 4 days. 5 days, it never stops. And that made me think, that's how a Christian has to be. I cannot stop. It's day in and day out. I pray the rosary every day. I celebrate my Mass as a priest every day. I pray every day. We need to be in the Word every day. You have to have your prayer time. You have to. Every single day. It's day in and day out. It's not a sprint. So that's the next very important thing for us to remember, that it's day in and day out. And lastly, when they arrive, they give this newborn king the best that they have: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those were the really valuable things of their day, and that's why they brought him those things. And so whatever you do, give God the best you got. It's day in and day out, keeping your eyes on Christ and his church, and it's the best that I have each day. So, Lord, the best I have, it's going to be the best effort I can give at this time. That's going to be the best I have. And it's going to be for you. That's important. So this meal that I'm preparing for my family, Lord, that's what most of us do each day, or for myself or whatever, this meal I'm preparing, I want to prepare it the best I can to honor you, to be a delight for you. And I want to serve my family for you. This is the best I can do. It might be macaroni and cheese and hot dogs, but it's the best we've got right now. This is the best I can do. And your best is not going to be that good if you've got the flu. That's okay. Jesus says, I only want the best you can do. Just give me what you can do. Okay, I can do that. I can always do that. And so that's very important, that whatever I do, I want to do it well, and I want to do it for you. And sometimes my best is going to be really good, and sometimes it's not going to be that good, but I always want it to be whatever I can do right now, right now. And it's going to be usually the simple things of life. It's going to be cooking and cleaning and working and paying the bills, talking on the phone, but I want to do it the best I can do for you. Because you are my delight, I want to be your delight as well. So that's, how about that for a New Year's resolution? go ahead and lose some weight, do some exercise if you want, that's fine. But how about my goal is to be a delight for the Lord and for him to be my delight.